No.
No. Yes.
No.
Definitely.
Definitely not.
So what is the question being asked here? The question is simple. Can money buy you happiness?
No.
Yeah, money buys happiness.
If you couldn't tell already, it's an extremely polarizing topic and pretty deep. But today, I'm going to answer that question for good. So I began my research where any self-respecting individual would. Comedy Central. And Daniel Tosh had this to say on the topic.
Don't you love that one? Money doesn't buy happiness. Do you live in America? Because it buys a wave runner. You ever seen a sad person on a wave runner? Have you?
Okay, I'm kidding, but really, how do you even start to answer this question? Money is deeply ingrained in our culture, especially the notion that anyone can make it to the top. Started from the bottom, now we're here. But does making it to the top really bring happiness? Countless celebrities seem to be unable to find happiness, even with all the fame and money in the world. So let's tackle this age-old question. Can the almighty dollar bring you happiness? And if so, how? It can be assumed that money buys happiness because you have more time and resources to go do fun things like, say, go to the beach. But it's not quite that simple. According to a 2010 Princeton study, the perfect household salary for maximum happiness is about 75 grand a year. Calculated for the cost of living in each state, that's about 68,000 in states like Indiana, whereas states like New York and California rocket above $90,000 to reach the same feeling. But nonetheless, that's way lower than I was expecting it to be. But it makes sense, because a salary below $50,000 opens up cracks in financial stability, while salaries above $75,000 have happiness plateau, because in order to reach these higher salaries, more time is demanded from Americans to work, time that is taken away from their family and fun activities. Remember this song? And the cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon. Little boy blue and the man on the moon. When you're coming home, Dad, I don't know when, but we'll get together then. You know we'll have a... Well, that tearjerker is a perfect example of the pursuit of money consuming happiness and a family. While what researchers call emotional well-being, or the pleasure derived from day-to-day activities like walking a dog or getting lunch, plateaus at the 75,000 mark, another term that they call life evaluation, or the way someone feels about their accomplishments and role in life, can still increase with continued success and higher education. So maybe all those years of sleep in Algebra 2 might have helped you been a little happier after all. But what if we've been getting the cliche saying wrong the entire time, and it actually means that money brings sadness? Well, a study in California found that if two of the state's counties were compared, the one with the higher income actually had the higher suicide rate. This seemingly ludicrous statistic can be understood when salaries are not viewed on an even playing field, but actually a different set of classes. And projections put the current middle class at $26,000 to $75,000, roughly. The happiest salary I talked about earlier is quite literally the top percent of the middle class. But those who made more than the middle class and eclipsed into the upper class, they were the unhappy ones, because all of their peers were better off than they were, and it distorted how they felt about themselves. This trend is even amplified in the lower classes, as a salary below $34,000 increases your chances of suicide by 50%. Being on the bottom of the American social hierarchy and the bottom of the middle class puts you at a higher risk for negative peer evaluation. So maybe money isn't the issue, just those you surround yourself with. But now we're going to talk about a man in a whole new type of class.
Better, stronger, faster.
No, not the $6 million man, try the $80 billion man, better known as Bill Gates. And oh, what I would do to be one of the Gates' three children and have a slice of that pie. Well, that's what I thought, until I realized something surprising. They're only leaving 0.1% of their Microsoft fortune to each of their kids, and the money's not even available to them yet. The Gateses are focused on a more altruistic philosophy, charity. And Warren Buffett and Mark Zuckerberg, also some of the richest people on earth, are vowing to donate 99% of their wealth to charity. The Gateses have already started undertaking the donation of all of their money too, with billions a year flowing into projects across the globe, and he has no regrets.
Like not even a single letter?
Nah, I can't think of one. I love all the letters. Know what I'm saying?
Okay, but seriously, he bluntly put it this way.
Well, it's the most fulfilling thing we've ever done.
Which is bold, coming from the man who helped invent the personal computer. And it doesn't even take billions of dollars to make an impact on your own happiness either. In a study, when 16 employees were given a bonus at work, every person who spent part of their bonus on someone else felt a greater sense of happiness than those who spent it on themselves, no matter how much the amount spent.
With this bonus check, I'm putting in a swimming pool.
Yeah, that was interesting. You know, we tend to think that the more money we get.
Wall Street Journal author Andrew Blackman had this to add on the topic.
But some of the studies found that we're a lot happier when we give it away. There was one study someone did, Elizabeth Dunn, a professor in Canada. You know, she went around giving people, I think it was students on campus, she gave them money to spend, and then they had to report like what they spent it on and how it made them feel. And the people who spent it on making other people happy were generally happier than the people who spent it on trying to make themselves happy. And she did that experiment all over the world in different countries, even in quite poor countries, and even in situations where people were spending their own money instead of having, you know, the money that a professor was giving to them. And even, you know, when they were poor themselves and when they were giving away their own money, they felt happier than when they were spending it on themselves. So that was quite an interesting finding.
So next time you hear those bells outside your local grocery store, a few dollars off your back could put some clothes on someone else's and make you happier in the process. The season of giving isn't just meant to be the winner. It should be all year. Now it's time to push the hypothesis even further that money brings sadness and tackle the works of great 90s philosopher / New York rapper Biggie Smalls, specifically Mo Money, Mo Problems. And a perfect example of money corrupting a family is the Vanderbilts. Cornelius Vanderbilt had amassed a massive fortune from his railroad empire in the late 1800s. But within two generations, his grandson Reginald blew through $94 million of his grandfather's wealth. People like Reginald Vanderbilt of the past or the Paris Hiltons of today are corrupted by their ancestors' wealth and failures within their families. But surprisingly, the next generation of Vanderbilts, left with a comparatively small $5 million trust fund, revived their family's success. Gloria Vanderbilt pursued a career in fashion and design and pulled in a comfy $200 million. But with the memories of her family's fortune being squandered earlier, Gloria made her son grow up knowing he was getting a big, fat $0 in trust money.
Tonight we hit home with microscopic creepy crawlies, perhaps millions of them, living in your mattress and in your pillows.
Recognize that voice? Well, that son of Gloria's is now CNN's Anderson Cooper, who rakes in a cool $11 million a year of his own now. Donald Trump's daughter Ivanka is also another testament to the power that money can give those who are motivated. She catapulted herself into Penn's Wharton Business School, kind of the best in the nation, and then into a thriving career for herself with her parents' money. But then there's also the story of trust fund babies who turn out to be nothings. So while money doesn't bring happiness and a successful career out of nowhere, it's definitely a springboard to building one in the amazing game of life. Well, the real one, not the board game. So how else can money buy happiness? Well, when people hear that money buys happiness, they think of the cliffside Malibu mansion or the blacked out Bugatti. A material purchase is the best investment because you can hold it in your hands and love it and always see it, right? Experiences are fleeting and not as valuable, according to logic. But new studies show that that is just plain wrong.
But a lot of what the research finds is that things don't tend to make us happy, because if I buy the Bugatti, I'm all happy and I'm like, oh my God, I got a Bugatti, it's what I always wanted. But then after a while, it's like hedonic adaptation, they called it, that you just think, okay, well, now it's just my car. It's not that different from having a Ford Fiesta or a kind of a regular small car. Whereas the experiences tend to be something that do lead to more happiness. You kind of enjoy them more, you appreciate them more, and you don't tend to adapt to them. If you're having an experience, you enjoy it, and you don't tend to sort of get used to it, especially if you keep having new experiences all the time. So that was one of the key findings.
Say, going to the IU game.
Watford for the win!
Or a One Direction concert are much more fulfilling purchases than just buying an IU jersey or plastering posters of the band members all over your walls. But there is a caveat to this rule, known as milestone purchases, such as that brand new furniture set that really ties the room together.
That rug really tied the room together, did it not?
These purchases represent reaching a new level of lifestyle in the buyer's life and the ability to make their life what they had imagined it to be. Well, at least if they can afford it. Stress from debt is a whole nother monster, especially student loans. Do not get me started on that. Okay, so after this 10-minute journey, can the question be answered? Unfortunately, no, there is and never will be a clear-cut answer to whether money truly does buy happiness, but a conclusion can still be made. And the conclusion is that money does buy one thing, the potential to find happiness. While it is possible to be happy while in the middle class at the golden $75,000 mark, being wealthier opens up more doors in life, doors that would never be imaginable with a middle class salary. Money does not, and never will, just buy happiness. But when spent right, it most definitely can make it easier to buy it. For WHJE, this has been Zach Miller. More stories like this can be found on our website at WHJE.com or through our podcasts on iTunes.